brother.
God,
what's up?
This is a hey, good big party, man.
Yeah,
I
brother,
can
like,
dig it.
Solid. Right on.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love.
The Empowerment Hour, the hottest show on Saturday mornings in Jacksonville on Praise 107.9. And now, here's your host on the Empowerment Hour, Dr. Richard Danforth, president of the Jacksonville Urban League, Jarman Leitner, president of First Thursday, and the producer and host, W. Larry Williams, CEO of Anchor Multicultural Communications Company.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Empowerment Hour. Happy Saturday, Duval. Good morning, Jacksonville. This is Larry Williams, your host, with Dr. Richard Danforth, Jarman Leitner, and Roger in the background. Guys, it's been a really, really crazy week. And first of all, let me say thank God for another 24 hours to live. This is, you know, an amazing life that we live, and you know, just thank God, and I'm so grateful. Jarman and Dr. Danforth, happy Saturday, and boy, it's a lot going on. I'm just floored by some of the activities that are happening around the city and the state of Florida, and particularly down South Florida, where the governor continues to invite tourists to Florida in spite of all the optics that say that this is not a good idea for, you know, for Florida to open, and you can see the tourists. These people have been pent up, Jarman, for the past year, and to open up these beaches in 90-degree weather, 80-degree weather, where do you think these folks are going? They are all headed to Florida with COVID in their suitcases.
Yes, absolutely. And we also see that the Florida coronavirus cases have increased by 630 as the spring break crowd continues to pack the beaches. And we're just at the beginning of it. You know, the warm weather is here, and it's here to stay now. And so we're going to see even more crowds as the months progress.
And Dr. Danforth, I see that the city and JEA, we'll talk about JEA a little bit later, but on this particular instance, city and JEA have found $26 million to start the phase out of septic tanks on the north side. What's going on over there?
You say they found $26 million?
A couple of weeks ago, they said they didn't have any money, and we're going to have to raise it, but all of a sudden they found $26 million. So, yeah, that's what I said.
Well, that's interesting, because, quite frankly, you really don't know how much money is over there, and you really don't know how much money will come to the state of Florida. We know it's quite a bit, and we know that the governor you know, has already pretty much made up his mind in terms of how he wants to allocate it. And I'm certain, I'm pretty sure that the current administration here in Jacksonville have plans as to how they want to distribute the funding from the stimulus, the CARES Act, or whatever. But hopefully it is not indicative of the approach that they used last year when they distributed the funding, because there was absolutely no input, and many organizations and neighborhoods were left out. And we're working extremely hard going forward that it doesn't happen again, and that funding is allocated to those neighborhoods and those communities that for many, many, many years have not received their fair share of the resources from the city of Jacksonville. So it's incumbent upon every council person, whether they represent a particular district in those underserved neighborhoods, but it's incumbent upon them to step up and make certain that it's equitable and not political.
Yes. And also, as I'm continuing to research this, this is still not going to the north side. You know, this is in the areas, and maybe I don't know where the north side is, Biltmore, Beverly Hills, and Christoffel neighborhood. So that's where this $26 million is going.
So it sounds like it's not even going to cover all the neighborhoods. It's still only a portion of.
Well John, I think the council member Garrett Dennis came on about 6 months ago and told us that the infrastructure needs were about $2 billion and $26 million. Okay. But anyways, we can talk about that today. The stimulus package is out, and there's a lot going on with that. In particular, there's some good things in there, aside from the fact that folks are getting their who earn less than $75,000 annually, or $150,000 per couple, should have received your stimulus checks of $1,400 by yesterday. And the direct deposits were done yesterday. They said 100 million folks have received their direct deposits, and another 100 million are supposed to get their checks through the mail. So this week. So that's a lot of stimulus going out there. And in addition to that, in the new American Rescue Plan, there's $7,000 for funeral expenses for COVID deaths. And that's through FEMA. So any of you that have had loved ones that died from COVID and were wondering how you're going to pay for funeral expenses, there's some relief in sight, $7,000 to cover your funeral expenses. So hopefully we'll have some information, but you can always contact your local representatives and find out where that money is.
Good luck. Is that for the casket and the
funeral expenses.
Just whatever you, however you decide to have your funeral arrangements, that $7,000 is for that.
If you're cremated, can you get $7,000?
It's the funeral expenses.
So if you get cremation, a package that costs you $900, then you know you can take the rest and buy Ray Ray and Bay Bay some shoes.
Yeah, I would feel that would be pretty biased if they just limited to how you bury your loved one. But it says $7,000.
There's always a catch in the afterlife.
All right. Well, in the afterlife. I don't know what that was.
I'll let that one go too, John. But one of the other topics that's really hot, not only in Florida, but nationwide, this has made national news, USA Today and MSN and all over. And that's the Lee High School fiasco over there about the name change and Robert E. Lee High School. I'm telling you that the optics there are crystal clear that folks in Jacksonville around these school name changes, especially white folks who are totally against this name change for reasons that make entirely no sense, including the some of them stating that John, what was one of the quotes out of that deal?
that slaves have an obligation to obey their master, and one quote even went as far as to say Jesus wasn't against slavery, to justify their racism. That's exactly what it is to want to continue to keep the name of this school Robert E. Lee a Confederate, and that reminds the Black community, which that school is made of predominantly Black children, and to want to continue to keep that, it just perpetuates the racism. And they're just voicing how they are. I mean, it's just evidence. They're just proving that they're racist, and this is how they feel that blacks are inferior. And there was even a comment, Larry, and Doc, that, you know, look at the grade of the school or look at the neighborhood. It's because blacks have moved over there and they dominate.
And, well, quote unquote, Jama, if yes. this high school is having problems, how long has it been predominantly African-American?
Right.
Okay. And then the other one was slaves have an obligation to obey their master. These are some of the comments that are coming out of these Zoom meetings and in-person meetings about the name changes of these high schools. And I think it's just pathetic.
And it just adds, like we said, there, it adds insult to injury. You know, these students have been dealing with this. It's an ongoing problem. You know, discrimination and racism is an ongoing problem, not in just this high school, but in other schools in the district. And that's why we've seen demonstrations this year. And even the teacher who was reassigned. But right. It looks like we're going to have to take a music break, Larry. So,
all right. This is Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowerment Hour. We'll be back after this music selection. I'm going to tell Roger, like I did last week, give us something with some spunk to it. We need that this morning.
Admittedly, I can be anxious at times as I consider the challenges I have to face. Like when I work to get ahead and still fall behind, I start to wonder if I was meant to win the race. Striving to do things right, and when things go wrong, tempted to hide. But this time I will be still. This time I will be still. Thankfully, it's hard for me to keep feeling this way when I consider who is on my side.
The Lord is my help,
walking with me every step I need to take on the desperate days and the long dark nights. Oh,
24/7, he never sleeps.
Thank you, Father. And when I remember, he brings me strength. Must obey the words that I speak and bow down to my faith, because I've got a work to do and I'm gonna see it through. God showed me the way and I'm choosing it today. The mountain has to move, the mountain must obey the words.
Lord is my
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams, along with Dr. Richard Danford of the Jacksonville Urban League, John Merlighten over at Harvest Mental Health Services. And, you know, we're talking about the stimulus and actually the American Rescue Act that was passed by Congress a couple of weeks ago now. And as I understand it, John and Dr. Danford, the COVID the checks are in the mail, so to speak. And I know that you guys have probably already banked or spent your are spending your $1,400. But then some folks, John, got an extra boost from the state through Congressman Al Lawson, at least according to Congressman Al Lawson's office, that they had individuals that were first responders. Or who was that, John?
Okay, so yes, in the American Rescue Plan, Representative Lawson is asking for Governor DeSantis with these state funds to be allocated for critical frontline workers. So those are doctors, nurses, you know, those in the healthcare field, for a $1,000 direct payment to them. There's also assistance for rent and mortgage and utilities as a part of these funds. And even the Medicaid program under the Affordable Care Act will be expanded. And then upgrades to the Florida's unemployment website will be on a continual basis, utilizing the funds that are allocated in this plan. So there's some additional help out here for the residents.
Well, that's a good thing, Dr. Danford, as far as, you know, bringing some direct and immediate relief to the community. And people can use those dollars right now. And it might not seem like a lot to folks that have means, but to folks that are, you know, living paycheck to paycheck or don't have paychecks, this is a huge boost for those families.
Yes, and beginning on Monday, Larry, they can sign up. The city of Jacksonville has an emergency rental assistance program, and starting Monday, March 29th at 8 a.m., that website application opens up to all residents of Duval County to apply for rent and utility assistance. You do have to have proof of a hardship during the COVID-19 pandemic, and the deadline is Friday, April 9th at 6 p.m. So you have that amount of time to apply for assistance, and you can get assistance for up to 12 months.
Wow, that's a good deal there.
Wow, that's good. Yes. That's very good. So, but I had a comment on that, John, and I, we know that people that are in the system will get those funds. However, those small business people, you know, that are, you know, the neighborhood lawn, you know, the guys that are doing the lawns and stuff that may not be in the system as such, won't get some of the funding that, you know, that other small businesses and individuals are entitled to, simply because they're not in the system. They may not have paid their taxes, or they may not have filed. So there are many challenges for those people that are on the edge, that are, as we know them. Yeah, that's what's, we're not able to get to those individuals. It's sort of right above their heads. So any help that we can provide to those individuals and small businesses, that's what we're doing. We're trying to do that over at the Urban League.
Well, that's great. That's great. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, that there's a lot of help. That's before the pandemic hit, Doc and John, there was a lot of need. And since that, you know, it's grown exponentially for folks that are, you know, in need. And just an aside, guys, before I go on, congratulations to the new mayor of Boston, making history, the first black and the first woman to be come mayor of Boston. And I don't think they had a tea party, though, for her. So we have to wait and see how that works out.
Well, that could happen in Jacksonville. So I applaud what happened in Boston.
So do I. Becoming a first is always great, and so we applaud the new mayor, and hope that she has a lot of success, Mayor Janey, in moving forward.
Well, yeah, maybe maybe we'll have more open government once we get someone in there that's seriously sensitive to the needs of all of the communities.
There you go. What you saying, Jama?
Just to add to the first, we want to recognize Evanston, Illinois, a Chicago suburb that has become the first city in the United States to make reparations available to its Black residents for the past discriminations and the lingering effects of slavery. So, yes, their city council actually voted 8-1 to distribute $400,000 to eligible Black households, where they would receive $25,000 for home repairs or down payments on property. So,
is this called reparations?
Just on reparations, and this is a suburb.
Well, is this national or is it
no,
just
no, no,
no? This is just in Evanston, Illinois. Like I said, a suburb outside of Chicago.
And we're hoping that other cities and the federal government starts to follow suit, because that reparations are due Black and Indigenous people, from years of slavery and mistreatment. So congratulations and the way to go, Evanston, Illinois.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good news. That's good.
Yes,
that's
it is. Yeah. And how much is it, Jarman? $120,000?
No, total $400,000, but it's going to be each household who's eligible will receive $25,000 for home repairs or down payments.
Well, I don't understand. We're going to have to look into that, because I don't know how you manage that, and somebody's going to get left out. And I don't,
the people that get left in, are more important than the people that get left out.
I know, but they're using it. They're saying it under the guise of reparations,
That's what they're calling it. I mean, you can call it whatever you want. That's what it is, So at least it's a start.
It's assistance to help the Black community.
Perhaps Mayor Kim Janey over in Boston can help pull off some reparations there. That'd be a miracle, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be. Let's not hold our breath on this.
Well, we don't. People who've been waiting for COVID vaccines don't have to hold their breath any longer, because they're going to be available to adults 40 and older on Monday, March 29th. And then on April 5th, adults 18 and older can begin getting the vaccine as well.
Well, why don't they do it? Why are there so much angst about taking this vaccine? Either you take it or you don't. I mean.
Well, I think that that's a personal thing as far as people's decisions on whether they're going to take it or not, Doc. I think you're hitting on it.
Right.
But at the same time, and I won't go to the if, ands, and what, but if the past administration had done their job, the vaccines when they were available, they should have ordered enough vaccines for everybody instead of just enough for a few. And that's why we have this backlog. Thank God that we have some folks that have that care about people in the administration now. And you're starting to see these vaccines roll out and starting May 1st across the country, the vaccine will be available to anyone 18 and older.
Wow.
So that's a great thing. For everybody, and for me,
well, Florida's ahead of that date with it being April the 5th.
Yeah, but that those dates, April 5th, John, it's based on availability. Getting the enough vaccines in place to distribute them by April 5th. We haven't had enough vaccines to inoculate the seniors. How in the heck, we're gonna get that many? Much more vaccines in by in a week to accomplish something that we haven't been able to. But anyway, it's a good point. It's good that we're moving forward. And according to President Biden, that come July 4th, we should all be celebrating and being able to interact with loved ones and travel and do the type of things that moving back to some normalcy.
Right.
Wow, boy, they got their hands full down there at the border.
Okay, well, we're going to have to continue our conversation in our next segment as we talk to school board member Daryl Willie, our education contributor. Continue to tune in. This is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. And we'll
the new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
Your hands all over the room and say this one
won't be my story no more.
That thing that that's been keeping you up at night won't be.
This won't be my story no more.
Having just enough just to get by won't be.
This won't be my story no more.
God came in to pull you where you belong. Oh, yes, he did.
This won't be my story no more.
God came to break you out of some stuff tonight. Oh, yes, he did.
This won't be my story.
I don't care how long you've been bound. He came to break you out. And if don't nobody else get greeted for your home tonight, as your hands are lifted up high, I need you out of your own mouth to begin to shout in the atmosphere. God is changing my scope. Open your mouth and shout it like you want me to say. Everybody say that won't be. That won't be. Lift your hands and say, this won't be my. One more time, like you mean it. This won't be. Now you ought to open your mouth to bless him like you believe that he's not going to change your story, but it's already changed. I need somebody to open up your mouth. Get what is yours tonight. I just believe that wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, everything you need is up in your mind.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. It's Larry Williams, along with Dr. Richard Danforth, Jarman Leitner, and our special education contributor, Daryl Willey, vice chair of the Duval County Public School District Board of Directors. Good morning, Daryl, and as always, welcome. Did you have a great spring break?
Spring break was great. Last week was wonderful. My daughter had her birthday. Congratulations to my old seven-year-old, so I had to give her a shout-out on the radio. But and always a pleasure.
Happy
to be
birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday. 7 years old. Sweetest, smartest seven-year-old you'll ever meet.
What's her name?
Angelina.
Angelina. Oh, all right, Angelina. Happy birthday.
Yep.
All right. So Daryl, the not only locally, regionally, but nationally, the Robert E. Lee High School name change is drawing just a lot of attention, and I'm sure for the board it's a welcoming event that so many people are turning out and voicing their opinions about the name changes. And so what's going on over there, Daryl?
Yeah, we're almost done with the first part of the process, and that is what this is. It's a process. We wanted to make sure that we did get community input in the process because these names have been around for a while. And so the first part of the process is the community input stage, where folks get to voice their opinions and vote at the school level if you live around a school or if you are connected to that school in any way. Then the superintendent will make her recommendation, and then the board will ultimately vote. But a lot of what we're seeing now is it's got some national attention because of just it's a charged topic. There's a lot of history and shadows that we're living in right now when it comes to sort of race and race relations in this city. And it's coming to the forefront. And
I like that. I like that description, shadows, because that's what it feels like, you know, in these especially in this particular series of meetings. That was that last I mean, Thursday night. Was that the last meeting for R.E. Lee?
Yeah. Robert E. Lee's meeting. Yeah, that was the last one. They will have a SAC meeting to actually identify the name, so the community can also attend that meeting as well. But that was
when is that?
Let me look at. I'll look at the tracker now and
find
out for you. But it's coming up soon, and some of these middle elementary schools are already voting, so the process is moving,
Okay, so folks need to be aware that voting is taking place now, correct?
Yes.
In some schools.
For these elementary and middle schools, yes, it's taking place now.
Okay. All right. Richard, you had something? I guess he didn't. All right, John.
Yeah, real quick, that SAC meeting to determine the ballot is on April 5th for Robert E. Lee.
What's that meeting called? SAC?
SAC, yeah, School Advisory Council meeting.
Okay, yeah.
To determine the ballot.
Thank you. We need to know.
I wanted to talk about, Darryl, do you think race relations is improving, getting worse, kind of where we've been for so many, many years? What is the state of it in Jacksonville?
I would say that we have sort of what we've been going through right now. Things have been dormant. Things have been sitting, and we've kind of just gone along. And now, when you raise the question, when you know better, you do better. So now that we've raised this question, now that we are seeing what we're seeing, you have to have this conversation. And it may be tough for some, but we're talking about creating a space and an environment for generations of learners and young people to go through. So that is my focus. That is my center when having this conversation. And I think for some folks, they're centering on a different time period and a different moment for them. But for me, it's about the current generation who's in our schools and about the future generations who will be walking in those schools and what that means.
Absolutely.
I'm talking about Douglas. What happened over Douglas Anderson? Is that indicative of the lack of the importance of racial inclusion in the public school system, or what are your thoughts on that?
I personally think that there were groups of folks at Douglas Anderson who had the right intentions. Honestly, they were having some really tough dialogue and conversations about some really hard topics to kind of bring to the forefront for anyone. And I think that there were some missteps in communication, but I truly believe that their intentions were positive and they were trying to really have those tough conversations with that community to push it forward. And I'm hoping, and I think based on what I've seen that they're doing over there now, that they can still do that. Because these conversations aren't easy. I don't care if you're 60, I don't care if you're 16. It's not easy to talk about, sit in a room and talk about race or actually talk about what the past is and where we need to go. So
the principal did receive counseling, right?
Yeah, she received additional training. So, and that's where some of the messaging went a different way. So she received additional training and support from experts or professionals over at the University of North Florida.
Were those people of color who could understand that this black folks who could understand the situation?
A little bit of both. It was Center for Urban Education. So you have both folks who identify as African-American. You got some white folks over there. Because I think you need both. You need some folks who can say, I'm white, and this is what you need to do. And then you have some folks who are black who also need to do that. But it also can't be on all just the black folks training the white folks on what it means to be anti-racist. And I think that's also what we have to get and move ourselves through as well, which is a tough concept to really grasp sometimes.
Yeah, well, it's hard to train for anybody to train someone else to be different. Okay.
Yeah.
First of all, we have to be receptive to one to understand and that understand that that there is a need to listen and hear what's going on, and then be open enough to say, hey, maybe, you know, I could listen in a different way, and perhaps I can understand in a different way. But just to say it's my way or the highway, you know, this is, you know, some of the comments that we talked about earlier in the show, you know, were ridiculous from our perspective. Maybe from through their lens, they're seeing something different.
Right. And we've talked about it being a systemic problem, and you can't change a system without starting with the individual. And I think that Robert E. Lee, the change of the name, it's just on the surface. That's exterior when we have so much going on the inside, not just on the inside of the schools, but on the inside of ourselves. So are we really looking at what's going on and how these students are being treated or mistreated, you know, whether it's by their peers or by administration or by teachers? It's a really deep rooted problem, and just the training part and the name changing is just on the surface, because it goes a lot deeper than that.
Yeah, and I would say that it's a little bit of both. It's a sort of a surface piece, but it can run and run deeper into more than just being surface when you have to sort of be you know, in that environment all the time. And I think we are doing some things right, and I think we have to be in a learning stance all the time, because it's about conscious and unconscious bias, and that's what this is really about. Like, you have so many, there's an unconscious yes. piece where we just accept that there's certain names on the school, even if there are certain things, we accept certain things that happen to our boys and our girls sometimes, and we can't do that anymore. We have to understand that.
Absolutely.
And recognize it.
Absolutely. And ignoring it isn't going to it's not an answer. You know,
not at all.
And the complicity silences complicity in what's going on. And we need to make sure that, as you pointed out, that our young black girls and boys have an opportunity to gain a good education in public schools without the shadows of the past of racism taking effect.
Yes. And this is this. You talk about an education. You talk about empowering our young people and having a voice. This is a powerful moment for them to
absolutely.
Be, I had influence over this. Talk about a civics lesson. You talk about something that you're going to be able to tell your grandkids. This is a powerful moment for not only our kids, but our kids to show the adults, like, hey, we're able to make the kind of change we want.
Absolutely, Darryl. Absolutely. That's point on. John, you want to talk a little bit about the mental health aspects of what's going
yes,
on with these kids. So what's happening on your side?
Well, we actually have to wrap up. We're getting flagged. It's time to wrap up this segment. So just want to give a quick shout out to all the teachers who do work hard, those who are really set on empowering our students and making sure that they have the educational foundation that they need. So kudos
okay.
to all the teachers.
All right, indeed.
We're
Sounds
gonna,
good.
Come back with this conversation, Larry, but you can go ahead.
Go ahead. This Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowerment Hour. We'll be back with more from school board member Darryl Willie, and also the Entrepreneur Corner, and our good friend from the Jacksonville Urban League's Entrepreneur Program, Bingham Parkinson, will join us hopefully with some more good news. We'll be back after this music selection.
The ultimate gospel experience, the new Praise 107.9.
The new Praise 107.9.
Yep. Yep. Now you trying to do me a favor. Everybody. Everybody clap your hands.
You already know you got the victory. You are the champion. big spot.
And we already
won. And we already won.
And we all.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. It's Larry Williams, along with Dr. Richard Danforth, Jarman Leitner, and our special education contributor, Daryl Willey. Welcome back, Daryl. And we were talking before the break about what's going on over there, and so we want to continue that conversation. I think we ought to, before, while we still have time, let's jump to the money. We're still trying to get that money. So tell us what's happening with the half penny sales tax moving forward.
Yeah, as mentioned before, we have our oversight committee. That monies will come out at the end of this month. So those first sort of funds will come out at the end of this month. I believe the 31st, which is, I think, next week, this week coming up. So that then that money will actually start to pour in, not only to our traditional publics, but our also charter schools. And they will begin to start to really dive into starting to spend that money. As we talked about before, Rutledge Pearson is going to be our prototype school. And that's going to, you're going to see that completed in 2023. They'll start the design parts of that now. It's probably a year long process that's going to involve the community. The community comes out, gets to see the design, actually gets to interact with some of the design too, to see if it's the kind of facility that we want it to be up to the standards of today's sort of learning and conducive to that. So folks will be involved. The Halfpenny Oversight Group will make sure those funds are going in the right direction and people are spending those monies wisely based on the taxpayers. We'll make sure that you all, as this group is informed about all of that, as each meeting happens with that Halfpenny Sales Tax Group, we'll come back and report on it and let you know who showed up and make sure this group, this community listening into this show actually knows as well.
All right. Well, That's great, Daryl, that we're getting some applications, and we just want the listeners and everyone to understand that you have to go through the process. You have to submit the applications and you have to do the follow up to make sure you're in the system and you're ready to receive the notifications and to stay abreast of what's going on. It's not just enough to submit the application and just sit, but we have to be diligent and following up if we really want to get that money.
So this is a 15 year is what we're talking about. So the money will be coming in for 15 years. So get that money. April 14th, we're having another doing business with the district. It's at noon, 12 noon, April 14th. So make sure you mark your calendars for that, because that'll be an important time for folks who don't have all the details about it to do that. And it's on Teams. It's online. So you can sit in your office or at your home and actually log into it. Go to DuvalSchools.org and you'll see it as a banner. And it's called Bridge Talks, was doing business with the district, because we want to make sure we get as many people in as possible.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Daryl. And we'll talk again next week with hopefully with some more good information about, some black folks, black businesses starting to participate in the process. All right. Have a great weekend. And as always, thank you for coming on.
Thank y'all so much. Daryl. Appreciate y'all.
All right. We're going to pivot now and go to our good friend over at the Jacksonville Urban League, Bingham Parkinson, and talk about the entrepreneur program. What's going on over there, Bing?
I'm doing well, my friend. I'm doing well. How are things going?
Everything is well. We're just trying to get some money for black businesses in Jacksonville. Any new news to support report from the entrepreneur program?
Yes. Well, one easy and rapid way of getting money for black business owners here in Jacksonville is to apply for the Payroll Protection Program loan. They've recently extended the application period from March 31st. Now the new deadline is May 31st. So it gives our local businesses an extra 2 months in which to submit their application.
Oh, that's great. That is good news. And who's eligible again for that? A lot of folks have been asking that question. is that we talk about PPP and all of those type of things, funds being available. Who qualifies for that quickly, Dean?
Okay, well, very quickly, if you have already received the first draw PPP loan last year, then you should qualify for the second draw. But to qualify, simply, you had to have been in business prior to February 15th, 2020, and you must have filed your tax returns for 2019.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's great news. Again, you know, we're trying to help our black businesses, get some capital, get some resources, because as we talked in the previous segment with board member Darryl Willie from DCPS, we're still, talking about the talking about getting money. This is somewhere you can go and get money now. That's what we need to be talking about. And I'm so happy to have you come on and inform our listeners about these opportunities, because I come to think of it, I need to go and get some of my PPP money.
Well, like you said, Larry, the information that we are providing to the community are for, applications and opportunities that are here, where you just, submit the application, get an approval, and then you get the money. Even with the rental assistance and utility assistance, it's a matter of submitting the application, and then you wait to get the money. Not, with the bigger projects like the halfpenny sales tax, and where you have to make sure that you complete that application and follow up and wait on notifications. And we're talking about things that are a little bit simpler for small businesses to access. So we should be taking advantage of that.
Absolutely. And we're not having to wait, talking about 15 years. I doubt if I'll be around 15 years and get some of that halfpenny sales tax money. But in the meantime, we do have other options for our small businesses. Anything else, being that you want to tell our listeners before we move on?
Yes, this week we started another small business academy, and this academy is focusing on small business entrepreneurs who are in business and are looking for some type of training to expand their business base. So basically, it's focused on growing an established business.
Okay, and what are those things that are being offered to help expand those businesses?
Well, the training program is a 4-week training workshop.
Okay.
And, yeah, we're focusing on how to get how to access capital to fund your growth, how to develop business plans that are aimed at focusing on what you need to do to grow your business, how to develop strategic marketing plan to identify and reach your target customers, and then how to increase your market share with branding and advertising. So these are some of the topics that we cover during our Small Business Academy.
That's great, Bing, and those are all things that are important. And too often, small businesses, and especially black businesses, take those things for granted. When if you're not advertising and your brand and improving your product visibility, then you're invisible to the public, and you're never going to grow your business. So come out to these meetings and learn more. Never stop learning about how to be a better business person and increase your revenue streams.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, we thank you, Bing.
Yeah, thanks, Bing, and we'll look forward to hearing some more great information from you next week.
Absolutely. Have a great week.
All right. Have a blessed weekend. All right, Jarman and Doc, we're back at the shadows here, we're trying to come out of the shadows, but we're back here and talking about some things. You guys have anything pressing on your mind that you want to share? I know we talked offline, and this is our opportunity to editorialize a little bit. So, Richard, well, I really, know you always have a deal. So we're out of time.
We're out of time, Larry. I'm so sorry.
I get it. I'm okay.
You were ready to.
I was ready. We've got to wrap it up.
So
I know. Listen, Monday we're going to honor Vietnam veterans. Vietnam Veterans Day.
Yes.
Okay. Monday. Yeah.
Right. So all our veterans, we want you to come over to the Wall of Honor, Service and Patriotism over on Union Street at the
Union and what?
Union and Broad.
All right. Union and Broad. Come on over Monday. What time?
4:00.
4:00. Okay.
You can catch it on Zoom.
Oh, we're going to Zoom it too. Great. So I don't have to fly down this week then, huh?
No. You can be with us. Okay.
All right. Hey, this is Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowerment Hour. Hey, thank you all, our listeners, for tuning in. Thank you, Doc. Thank you, Jarman. Thank you, Bing. Thank you, Daryl. And thank you, Roger. We'll look forward to, again, talking to you next week. Peace.